Katrina McGee is a self-professed God girl. Her book, Loving on Me, inspired by her own journey of transformation, is designed to help others embrace their me they were created to be. Next on Through the Eyes of Women. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program featuring the lives and perspectives of women, local, national, and international. Katrina McGee is a woman of faith who isn't afraid to put it into action. As an advocate, entrepreneur, and social responsibility pioneer, she spent more than 20 years working with America's leading charities to improve the health and well-being of women and children around the world. Through her blog and release of her new book, Loving on Me, she's also taking on a new role as a revolutionary passionate about unleashing the transformative power of God's love. For more than two decades, Katrina McGee has been a champion for women, having served on the executive level for two of the world's largest nonprofit organizations, the American Heart Association and Susan G. Komen for The Cure. She has traveled around the globe, advocating for and inspiring women in more than 12 countries on three continents. Her new adventure, channeling her passion for women's empowerment, launched Loving on Me, a global movement encouraging women from every walk of life to love themselves and each other more. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, Katrina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start by at least telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I am a mom. I am a career executive. I'm an entrepreneur. I am passionate about leading women and preparing and positioning them for leadership. I am probably like your listeners, a busy woman who gets a lot of things done.
You're sharing a process in this book that you've been through. How did you come about the idea for that?
I'm like a lot of other women in that I wear a lot of hats. And for years, I have been a career executive. There are points I have been a stay-at-home mom. And I just had gone through my entire adult life, really finding value in who I am based on what I do. And so when I reached a point where there was a professional crisis, it became a personal calamity. And I was having severe anxiety attacks. And honestly, I felt like I was having a heart attack and stroke at the same time. And the doctor said, nope, you're not having a heart attack. You're having anxiety attacks. And, you know, I argued with him. I said, I don't have anxiety attacks. And he said, well, you have an environmental issue. And you need to do something about that. And I said, I don't know what I would do different. And he said, well, it's time to try to figure it out. And so I stepped back for a moment and really said, okay, God, I don't want to kill myself trying to be of value to the world. I really need to find a way to do what I'm doing differently. So I started a quest. Like most of us, I said, I need some work-life balance. And what I learned is, no, I need to create the balance that I see, beginning with appreciating the value of who I am and not what I do. And that's really how Loving on Me started. It was that journey of personal transformation where I got off of the hamster wheel of crazy and started creating balance. And the funny thing happened when I started sharing my story, thousands of other women said, wow, that is my story too. Like, I love what I do, or I love my family, and I love what I do in the community, but I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I have way too much on my plate, and I don't know how to create balance. And that's what really started this journey, and to this day, what continues to push me toward inspiring and equipping women to lead in every aspect of their life.
Well, that's something that comes from deep within your heart.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. I am a woman who absolutely loves and believes in women. I think we are incredible and amazing and smart and gifted. And so often we lack confidence in who we really are. And it encourages us to accept less out of life than what we were designed for. And I just believe that if we get in the driver's seat of our own life, and that if we learn to apply basic principles about empowerment and confidence and owning our own authority, that we can still be successful while also being sane.
And then there's the connexus of what motivated you to change. And like you said, thousands of other women said, wait a minute, that's going on for me too. And then you actually became a motivator for other women's change.
Yeah, you know, I have been doing that for 2 decades at both American Heart Association and Susan G. Komen. My focus had really been on health. I'm a big proponent of taking charge of our health. I think our body signals when it's time to make a change. Most of us ignore that signal, and then we get in a crisis. So I have been trying to be a disruptor in the women's health space, really around the globe as it relates to heart disease, stroke, breast cancer, et cetera. But what I really figured out toward the end of my time at Susan G. Komen is that we couldn't bifurcate our body parts like that, that I needed to really speak to the whole of a woman, and that you really have to change what's going on inside, like in our minds, before it manifests in positive health behaviors. So this is really an extension of what I have been doing for decades in terms of really putting women in charge of their own lives. And I do that now not only in health, but also in their career. I try to provide practical advice on finances and family because, you know, anytime we're unhealthy in one aspect of our lives, it impacts the whole thing.
Absolutely. There's something in the book that you talked about, authentic conversations, and not only with ourselves, but with a higher power, our God.
Yes.
So could you explain how that came about for you when you decided, I'm going to share this?
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. You know, I think that God speaks to us all the time, but we don't hear it because, A, we don't actually believe it is God or it's the higher power, and B, we don't believe that what we heard is actually possible, and that's what keeps us stuck. So I try to, in my book, be as transparent as possible about my journey, because when you read the stories of many, many successful women, what emanates from their center is this relationship with God, this faith. And I'm not even talking about religion at all. I'm talking about the relationship with our Creator that kind of manifests in every area of our life. But most of the time, we disconnect our faith from our function because we're taught, you know, you don't talk about religion and things at the office, or that's a subject that you avoid. And I'm not suggesting we go in and talk about it every day. I'm suggesting we allow our faith to influence how we behave in every aspect. But the thing is, you know, we talk outward but don't listen inward. And it's because we're not still enough to hear. So what I suggest for women is to learn to embrace stillness. There's a chapter in my book about being still and still being productive, about the power of getting quiet and learning to listen to the voice within, because it's not a loud voice. It doesn't yell and scream and all that. It's a gentle whisper, but you recognize it when you hear it if you're still enough and dialed in.
Well, often the stillness creates a context for women who might, well, they want to hear what you have to say, but in their own mind, their voice is saying, well, what's free will versus God's will? What do you say when someone approaches you like that?
Well, I mean, it's difficult, right? Because one of the great gifts God has given us is choice. I believe that, you know, we have a choice. Life is about choice, circumstances, and consequences. And the choices you make every minute of every day give you a whole new set of circumstances and choices, which is why I always tell women to practice presence. Be present. You're making a choice in every minute, which will give you yet another choice. So I think all of our life emanates from choice. I think that God's will is always that we are dialed in to the connection to the source so that we are influenced by the spirit that lives within. I don't know necessarily that in many cases where we're waiting to try to determine the will, that there is necessarily a right or wrong way to move, because I think that God has a way of ordering our steps. My dad told me something a very long time ago. He said, God doesn't give us direction until we start to move. Most of us wait to move until we perceive direction. And it's a shift in our thinking that we have to make about our relationship with God, because it's activated through faith. And faith, you step out on nothingness. And so a lot of times, because we've been given wisdom and power, we can make good choices and know that God is going to be with us wherever we go. So that's how I try to balance this whole thing with free will and God's will. It's all activated through faith. So as I move, stop, and assess which is the best direction, the Spirit will give guidance, but then I have to step out sometimes on what is perceived to be nothingness in order to keep moving forward. And that's really how life works. If you're wondering why you're stuck, it's probably because you're not activating your authority and your faith.
Well, yeah, you talk about I am purposed and, you know, your purpose. And a lot of times the chaos, the inner chatter and all that really takes away from how we can look at what our purpose is.
Yeah, because our purpose is always in the present. I talk to the women who say, I've been looking for my purpose. I'm like, it's right in front of you. Because at every moment of our lives, you are enough. I tell this to women all the time. What you've been called to accomplish, you've been equipped to achieve. There's no lack in you. And from the time you get here until the time you leave, there's a purpose for your life. It's always in the present. But we look for this grandiose thing that, you know, God wants us to do, something huge and big and over the top. We say, oh, that's my purpose. And sometimes it's the thing that really triggers the response in you. So you see homeless people and you stop to help. That was purposeful. You see you're concerned about education and our kids. That's where your purpose lies. You want to make a difference in the lives of women. That's where your purpose lies. It's in the present. It's not that we go through seasons of our life that we're unpurposeful. I don't think that's ever the case. It's just that this grand vision that we look for our lives is revealed in direct proportion to our maturity to handle it. So we mature through doing the little things that are in front of us, and then you get larger assignments.
The larger assignments, sometimes I don't think we want those. I'm just going to do the little book report, God. No.
Isn't that the truth? I know. It is, you know, that is so true, and that's when we have to trust that it's all working out for our good. But, you know, I just feel like the universe is set up to support our success. So even when we don't feel enough or we don't feel like we have the strength or we don't even really necessarily have the desire to take the next step, I believe that surrounding us is the support we need to continue to move forward.
What I also like in your book is that after each chapter, you give readings, if we want to go and follow up with some readings. And one of the first ones that you had was, I really liked it, Melody Beattie, who you were talking about her book on codependence. She also wrote a book from Journey to the Heart, which is a daily affirmations and reading, you know. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, wow, I have similar feelings. I have similar thoughts. I have experiences. And even to a point where, oh, I've gone there where she went there. And sometimes you need to know where other people have gone that triggers in you. Oh, wait a minute. I did that. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. And I find that in your book, well, throughout the whole book, you're sharing your, well, I like to say the good, the bad, and the ugly in the process. Is really so helpful and empowering to other people. I know you know that, but I just wanted to say that out loud.
Well, thank you. You know, it's really funny because that is not the book that I intended to write. I mean, I wanted to be so impressive and write this book about leadership and all this other stuff. But first, I had to write that book because, you know, a lot of times in life, you want to be ahead of where you are, and so you try to operate based on what you want instead of what you're here to do. So writing that book, I would get to places, and I think, I really don't want to talk about this. Like, I don't want to say these things, but I couldn't figure out how to get the learning and put the point in there without sharing parts of my story. So I pray often that it empowers other people because I think in our stories and struggles are our strength, and I love Codependent No More, and that book changed my life. It's the reason that I include books at the end because I want to help foster a forever learning mentality among women because I know that my book is not enough. If this is your area where you really struggle, you're going to need more help there. And if you struggle on the continuum of compassion to codependent, I would say, please pick up Codependent No More. It is revolutionary in terms of helping you resign your position as general manager of the universe and get in the driver's seat of your own life.
I like that, general manager of the universe. That's a nice title. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Through the Eyes of Women here on KHSU. I'm your host, Brenda Starr, and my guest is Katrina McGee, advocate, teacher, mentor, and author of Loving on Me. And we are discussing empowering others to access the more that God has in store for you. Now, I was wondering, what do you mean when you say living a life more abundantly?
Yeah, so I think so many of us have been confined by our past, or we let our present define our future. And, you know, the Bible talks about life abundantly, and it really doesn't have anything to do with money whatsoever. It's more peace, love, joy, all of the fruits of the Spirit. My prayer is for women that you live rich and full lives, because there's no benefit to playing small. There's no benefit to living less than what you were created to be and achieve. So when I think of abundance, I think of you being all that you were created to be and doing all the things that you were called to do. But that takes intentionality and it takes courage. And so what I tried to do in the book was to tell people my own personal story of transformation, learning how to reconcile all the disparate parts of myself back together so I could be just what I described. But I discovered people were reading the book 2 and 3 times and they got the principles, but they weren't quite sure how to put them in action. So that's why I've now married the book with the Loving on Me Academy, which provides courses that not only inspire, but equip you, walks people through the process of learning how to be better leaders, but be better communicators, how to create the balance they seek. So once you're inspired, now I'm moving to also equipping people as well.
Yes, tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. So the Loving on Me Academy launched in January, and it takes many of the principles that I describe and lay out in the book and takes you through the process of putting them in action in your own life. The first course is absolutely free. It's called 5 Steps to Get in the Driver's Seat of Your Life and Stay There. And it goes from trying to find work-life balance to creating the balance that you seek in a very practical, hands-on way. And by that, I don't mean I'm not asking people to quit their job. I'm not asking people to transform their lives. I'm first taking them through a process to stop and think about it. What are your core values and priorities? And then to put a practical action plan in place to ensure that you prioritize your priorities, surround yourself with people that will support them, and then learn how to celebrate your slay, how to take the everyday victories and use them as an incentive to go from mountaintop to mountaintop. The next course launches soon, and it is a leadership course, and it is really for women who are working in either their own business or in corporate America or in their community to be confident and effective leaders. You know, there is a confidence gap that exists really across the world between men and women. So we know that when there is a new opportunity, men can be like 40% qualified and they will go for it, but women have to be like 110% qualified to even try. And so I'm trying to equip women with ways they can build their confidence, they can be effective leaders, because I believe we have to diversify leadership in every industry in this country in order to close the equity gap, to allow women leadership opportunities, and to ensure that we reduce things like sexual harassment in the workplace.
Right. We don't need to be supernatural leaders. We just need to be natural leaders, learning to do that. We think when we take on so much that that's being supernatural rather than, well, going back to our authentic selves and having that. And it takes a very strong and courageous voice to come out that way. And I know that that's one thing that you mentor women and girls is to find their voice. And sometimes it might not be the voice you really want to listen to. It might be something that's based in the fear of things happening versus things that are happening, harmless questions that make us, you know, maybe get off our track. And I was reading about your process. You talked at one point that you were surprised by your anger. And I wanted to ask you about that. Was it anger around not being your natural leader self, or what was that? What was going on for you?
It was all of it. When your life spirals out of control and you're like, I don't know what to do, but I know I need to do something different. Like, this is not going to work. There is an anger because you feel like you should have been able to do it all. There is an anger that, you know, you worked hard for something that you feel like this is dismantling. Like, I've also been through a very painful divorce. There's anger. You feel like you should have been able to make this work, or you should have made a better choice, or you know, it's all the should-haves that make us angry, like what you should do or what you shouldn't have done. And so you have to learn to accept forgiveness and to forgive you, and to not just go through things, but grow through them. When I first started trying to write the book, I didn't realize that I was still angry. And it's a funny thing because we can mask anger very well until you start peeling back the layers or you get a trigger that takes you right back to that place. And so I think it's important to be self-aware, to listen to what's happening on the inside when you're triggered, what's triggering you, and then do what you need to do to heal, whether it's counseling or therapy or introspection or learning to meditate. The experiences that are so painful for us, they have a purpose.
And we know what they are. You know, often maybe women come to you thinking, well, you know, she's going to tell me what I need to do. And I'm sure you say to them, I don't know, but you do.
Exactly. One of my best coaches that I've ever had said, I'm going to shine the light. You're going to do the work. I love that about her because she asked me probing questions that helped me get to the answers that were already within. You see, you know, people can tell you their story. They can tell you what works for them. But because we're all created different, you have to find the method that works for you. So how these principles are applied really are unique to every person. But that's what I love about us all being different, is that you don't have to try to be somebody else to be all that you can be. You just have to learn the basic principles of how things work in life, what triggers the next thing, you know, and then figure out where you are along the journey and how to take your next step.
And there is a sense of maturity that you have to have in order to proceed there. Some of us get stuck because we don't want to move into that place. We want to stay little, or we want to stay helpless, or, you know, not on a knowledgeable level, but it's there.
Right. But, you know, I think it's much more desire than it is maturity, because with a willingness, you can mature and you can develop courage. All you got to be willing to do is take the next step. And so many of us want the whole plan up front. Like, I want to know how to get from A to Z. Well, how about today we just talk about how to get from A to B? You know, because that's progress. And I want to celebrate the fact that you went from A to B. I want to celebrate the fact that you want to go from A to B. Because 2 years ago, you may not have even wanted to make that small step. So I try to tell women, listen, I get it. I was scared too. There are moments when I get ready to go to the next mountaintop where I'm scared to take that next leap. And I have learned to speak to myself, to speak to my fears, to recognize what it is holding me back, and then to take the step anyway. So I'm just looking for folks who desire to be all they were created to be, who want to be all that God created them to be, or who want to be effective leaders, or who want to get in the driver's seat of their life. It doesn't matter to me where you're starting. Just have the desire to want to go to the next step.
Because the desire will help create the balance.
That's right. And the desire will help you stick with it when it gets hard.
You use a phrase that I liked called the season of my life. What do you mean by that? I just love that little phrase, the season of my life.
Well, you know, for women in particular, there is a war on our self-worth from the womb to the tomb. And so in every season of life, you know, whether we're children or young adults or women, or in the second season of life where we're aging, there are fresh opportunities to grow and be and develop. But there are also new challenges. And so one of the things we have to do as women is to recognize our season. You know, when I was a single parent, I had to leave work at 5:17 every day to pick up my son by 6 o'clock. And, you know, the days I left late, the after-school person and my son were standing outside waiting for me. It was not a good look. It was not a good feeling. But that was my season. I had very specific time constraints of when I could work and when I had to shut all that off and take care of my mom responsibilities. But now that my son is in his late 20s, I'm in a different season. And so the opportunities that I can take advantage of, the time I can dedicate to other things is different. Sometimes we want to be at when my children are grown season when they're two. And it just doesn't work. And so we have this constant frustration about all the things we can't do, be, or grow because we're in a different season. Or, you know, now in this season, I would love to still have the energy and capacity to lose weight I had at 25, but I don't have it. So I have to learn to be content in this season of my life and know that I still have value and purpose even as I age.
And that acceptance is actually very very powerful. It doesn't diminish us. It empowers us.
It is. It is liberating. Let me tell you. And it also adds to our, just on a practical nature, our joy in life. The joy in the now. The capacity to choose happiness. When we stop comparing ourselves to what was and learn to appreciate what is, you are so much happier.
It's true, being in the moment. And as you say, let love lead the way. You also say there's always more in store. So what's the more in store for you, Katrina?
Oh, my goodness. Well, since we just launched the Academy, I know we're going to put up new courses every semester. As I get older in the second season of my life, I've traveled my whole adult life for work, and now I'm being called in to reach more women through this automated process because I'm in a knowledge transfer season. So I'm much happier teaching people how to do some of the amazing things I've been able to do instead of doing them myself. And that's probably where I am for the next decade or two. I'm in the process of writing a second book, which is really exciting and terrifying and frustrating and joyful all at the same time. But mostly I'm just practicing presence. So as new opportunities come, I have committed to God that I will just walk the path and go through the open door and feel my fear and keep moving forward anyway. And to the best of my ability, that I can encourage other women along that path, that's what I'm about.
Well, I thank you very much for the encouragement, for the readings, for the blog, for the communications. For decades, your desire to help women and children all over this planet, and how you have, you even have bigger ideas for the future, for the next season of your life.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting, Katrina. That's very exciting. I want to thank you for sharing your life, sharing your philosophy, and sharing your encouragement for so many people. And I want to wish you continued success for the future.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been a joy chatting with you today. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Brenda Starr, and I've been speaking with Katrina McGee about empowering women to lead, inspire, live, and succeed. Her book is Loving on Me, Lessons Learned on the Journey from Mess to Message from Balboa Press. For more information, you can visit the website katrinamcgee.com, also lovingonme.com, and on social media at I Am Loving on Me. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Katie Whiteside, and to the entire Through the Eyes of Women team. To listen to this program again, visit our blog at khsuwomen.com, where you can also learn more about the show and post listener comments. Join us again next Monday at 1:30 right here on KHSU.